Let's get after it. It's a midweek Wednesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for the seventh day of December 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to a foggy morning. Like, it is foggy out there. That's a foghorn right there that you heard. A little pea soupish, depending on where you are. I think it covers most of the city. I'll burn off, though, as the day goes on. We're in for a somewhat wet day, kind of reminiscent of yesterday, actually. Some showers around. Continuing on the mild side, 4 degrees will be the high. It's going to cool off, though, starting tomorrow, although it will be sunny. Starting tomorrow, we're going to have sunshine, looks like, throughout most of the rest of the week, right into the weekend. But cooler temperatures as well tomorrow with a high of -2. Friday's outlook, sunshine and zero. As you wake up this morning, we are sitting at 3 degrees as we say good morning, hello, and happy Wednesday to Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Top shelf, Chair. Beautiful weather to me. Kind of look at that long-term forecast. And I guess also in watching the 6 o'clock news and a little weather being delivered by Matt Scooby, that Arctic freeze or polar vortex or whatever is going out in Western Canada. Please do not allow that to come here, and it's not. You're talking -28, -31. So when I look at our forecast, both short and long term for December, well, gotta say I'm pretty happy.
Brutal. Yeah, absolutely. We'll take that. Well, we won't take it ever.
No.
But if it needs to happen, it can happen. I don't know.
Maybe for winterlude, right? Maybe throw it in. Hey, have a little canal time. But the fact that we can chew up some of December and kind of look at this, as I said, this has been pretty nice after gorgeous November.
Here we go. Time Magazine has named its Athlete of the Year, and it is. Any guess?
Time Magazine. So we're going to have to go global. To be honest with you, Jerry,
Go global.
Oh, okay.
They sell most of their magazines in America.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Patrick Mahomes?
No. Oh. Think about somebody who really did something that got a lot of attention throughout the summer. And the fall.
Okay. Mr. Judge.
Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Aaron Judge has been voted Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year.
And I bet he looks great, right? He looks like a comic character, right? If you drew kind of the big baseball player, handsome, tall, seems like a great guy. That's well deserved. Where do you think he's going to end up?
Good question, because the rumors going around, all the free agents are starting to sign now. The dominoes are beginning to tumble. But he is the biggest domino of all as a free agent. And the rumors last night were that the San Francisco Giants, and he grew up in a small town about an hour east of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So there are some somewhat hometown ties there, have offered him $360 million.
Wow.
So that is...
For how long?
I didn't see that.
But based on some of the crazy money that Verlander's getting, JR, it appears that for a lot of teams, like, I'm assuming that $40 million a year, 9 times 40, would not be a big deal. Would that make sense?
That sounds about right.
Okay, yeah. Well, that'd be pretty cool.
He sells a lot of tickets.
Yeah, he actually does. And now,
he's a good ball player.
Yeah, as far as the right field out there, where does he hit most of his home runs? Because that was one of the things of Barry Bonds.
Everywhere.
Okay, because that is fun, right? Seeing him, imagine the big Aaron Judge getting up to the plate, guys, and just launching one into the... Not a river. Would that be the ocean right there by the ballpark?
It's a bay.
The bay. That's true, yeah. So that'd be pretty cool.
Well, the thing is, that ballpark, which is, I don't know what it's called. What is it? Yeah. It used to be Pac Bell. Is AT&T now? I don't know. It's called now. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most difficult ballparks to hit home runs in.
It is the wind's
very
coming in?
Spacious. No, it's more so just, I think, that the temperatures really drop off at night. Anybody that's been to San Francisco, even in the summer,
the ball just
does not fly. And Yankee Stadium is a bandbox. And I'm not saying that Aaron Judge had a bunch of cheap home runs, but he had a few cheap home runs.
Okay.
You hit more home runs in fact, maybe the Rogers Center and Yankee Stadium are the two easiest places to hit home runs in all of Major League Baseball.
I didn't know that.
Yankee Stadium for sure. That little porch there in right field. I mean, there were times when he would reach out, and it looked like it just went off the end of his bat, and it would land two rows into the... So that is one of the things, apparently, that's one of the things that, San Francisco apparently, allegedly, has offered him the money.
Yeah.
So whether he gets close to 62 or they're happy with 45 because he doesn't hit in a bandbox any longer.
How did Barry Bonds, I know it's steroids, but still with that, JR, how was he able to hit so many home runs then?
Steroids.
He got steroids. Well, and he got his fair share on the road.
Oh, did he? Okay. And I just think it's a home runs off. But you're right. And they also say that one of the big things is summertime, right? Heat and humidity really helps as far as home runs. So not getting any of that out in San Francisco. But that'd be pretty cool. And I guess if you're a Jays fan, You never hate to, or you love to see when a star player like that leaves your division, right? And ends up heading out west.
When was the last time the Yankees lost a superstar in free agency? Like somebody who they want to keep in Judge.
Yeah, it's a great question.
It does happen.
No,
it's early.
Yeah, and the weird 10 red, not a loss, but they traded Mookie Betts. Is that who they traded?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. That is a strange thing. And for him, that really is such a choice of lifestyle, right? When you're going west and technically going home. But certainly the culture in San Francisco far more laid back versus what you're facing in New York. And boy, you've conquered that and become the king. But I guess if the Yankees aren't willing to reach out and buy the baseball for him, then it's their fault, mm-hmm. right?
I think they want to keep him, and I think they've made a big offer. It's I think that number gets leaked out because that's basically New York. You got to beat this if you want to keep him.
And they probably will, right?
I think so.
Yeah. That's interesting. And that's whatever agent you end up having. Whatever sport you're in, you just hope a couple of the big boys. But
he has made it more than clear that he was very unhappy when the Yankees leaked out the money that he turned. They offered him a $210 million contract at spring training. And he said, no, I'm going to bet on myself. Mm-hmm. Obviously a very wise bet. Yeah. But he has mentioned on more than one occasion and mentioned it when the offseason began as well, that he was very unhappy that it was leaked out by the Yankees that he turned the money down.
Well, if you're Mark Cashman, and I think he's done a very good job there, and I think he just got a contract extension, or is it Brian Cashman?
Brian.
Sorry. He's done a great job. You talk about that as well, the difference of that franchise, JR, the longevity he's had, rightfully so, the stability that would have never happened under Mr. Steinbrenner. This is part of doing business in New York. If you're the general manager of the New York Yankees, part of your job is having a relationship with the media, and part of that job is leaking out information. And if you don't leak it out, somebody else gets it. So, I can understand that. But he also realized the market that is involved in this high casing. So, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. My guess is they circle back, and then he ends up going. Is San Francisco's not known for spending like that, are they normally, Jer?
No, Barry Bonds made a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
They've had their fair share. Now that
they've had very good teams. I just meant I can't think of, from free agency standpoint, and I don't follow baseball like Hammer does, but I'm just trying. You think of technically in this little era we've been in, when everybody signs now, they end up going to a Dodgers to a Houston to the Yankees for a while, the Red Sox. I just can't really recall from that standpoint for San Francisco, but as I said, I don't follow it close.
Speaking of award season, today is the day they will announce the winner of what used to be known as the Lou Marsh Trophy, but then we found out that Lou Marsh was a somewhat terrible human being, and so we can't name our Canadian Athlete of the Year after Lou Marsh any longer. Now it's known as the Northern Star Award. So that will be debated and announced today. Looks like the two main contenders are Felix Auger-Aliassime, who had four wins
really close
on
strong,
the tennis
right?
tour, and is now ranked number six overall on the men's side, and Brooke Henderson, who of course had two wins this year, has now 12 in her career, and of course one of her two wins was a major. So those are said to be the two leading contenders, Felix and Brooke, for the Northern Star Award.
That actually, when you think about heavy debate like that, takes me back to Larry Walker and the Masters.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
What's the name of the documentary?
Man versus Machine. Who will forget? Jacques Villeneuve versus Larry Walker.
A whole documentary on the actual debate. And if you want to see old school TSN personalities, that was basically who was on that panel that made that up. Any indication? My gut feeling is, what have you done for me lately? And with the Canada both winning the Davis Cup and his strong close, I kind of get the feeling that he'll end up winning, JR. Do you have any gut for it?
Well, I read the article. Now, so this is Lou Marsh was associated with the Toronto Star. This is a Toronto Star Award. So I was reading the Toronto Star this morning, gathering information, and they actually did a reader poll.
Okay.
And, you would think they had like 1,200 votes or something. You'd think the readers would have a pretty good feel for it as well. Felix did win the vote. Barely comfortably, but Brooke was a strong second.
Okay.
So that's why there were a couple other names on there, but they were further down the list. Do you remember last year's Northern Star Award winner?
No, I don't.
Olympics. Okay. Won a gold medal at the Summer Olympics. How soon we forget.
Yeah, who is
Not
it?
That I would have remembered either.
Who is it?
Damian Warner. Remember he won the decathlon? Yeah. First ever for Canada.
And it was set a world record gold medal, as well from London.
Yeah, exactly.
God, that's terrible. Eh? I got no recall.
I don't think anybody would have remembered that, to be quite honest.
I thought they were going to rename this the Gretzky or Terry Fox or something else, I guess.
I think the Toronto Star likes it called the Northern
that's
Star.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
They're being hoggy about that. All right, 620. You have any thoughts on that? You can certainly share them with us via the text machine at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll take a break when we come back. Yes, we do have to talk about the Sens game. One step forward, one step back. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. They fall 5-2 to the Los Angeles Kings. We'll come back. We'll chat about that. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so from now, we're going to talk to Jack Mateer from the Ottawa 67s. They're just about to get on the bus to head for Windsor. Jack's going to get on the bus, go to Windsor, play a game, and then he's going to the World Junior Selection Camp. Great feather in his cap, and maybe a chance to fulfill a dream. We'll talk to Jack Mateer later on this hour, as well as we spring forward into this Wednesday edition of Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Welcome back. It's 6:25 here on a Wednesday morning. A little foggy out there for you this morning as you head out. 67s are hitting the road 7:15 this morning at the long bus ride. They got a game in Windsor tomorrow, although they get to Windsor, London Friday, and then Guelph on Sunday. So it may be one of those ones where they actually stay in London, and then tomorrow they'll just bus down to Windsor and then bus back, go to the game anyway. Jack Mateer with 67s had a great year, enough that, James Boyd, his general manager and the general manager of Canada's World Junior team, have seen enough that he gets the invite to the World Junior Selection Camp. He'll leave on Friday, and we're going to talk to Jack coming up in just a few minutes before he gets on the bus. He must be super excited. I mean, this is when you're a young hockey player, playing for Canada at the World Juniors is like the ultimate dream. That, getting drafted by the NHL, he's got that already. So a dream about to be realized. And actually getting on the team, obviously, is the ultimate thing. But there is Dean Brown with a call here on TSN 12. Two goals in the first 2:15 of the game. The Sens were on their back foot, and while they did get one back from Batherson, Arvidsson would score two more for LA before the first was over at 4-1. Pretty much seemed like lights out. 5-2 is the final. Here's DJ Smith postgame on the Sens' slow start.
Just flat, gave up way too many chances. Didn't check hard enough, you know, and that's on me. That's you know, our preparation to start the game starts with me as the coach, and that, you know, it's certainly unacceptable, but, you know, my job is to make sure these guys are ready to play. And, you know, maybe we should have morning skated. We didn't morning skate. We were loose, and, you know, the game got away from us in the first period. And then after that, you're fighting an uphill battle, and you're playing losing hockey. The other team sits back. You know, the shot clock is what it is because they're ahead of us, you know. That's just not good enough.
There you go. There's a DJ Smith after the game. What do you make? That's now that's the second time when he has clearly said that's on me, which, you know, for me at least, that was some of the criticism when the Sens got off to their very slow start this year, is that I didn't find the coach was saying that enough. And whether he believed it or not, I think as a coach, you have to say that at least some of the time. And a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned it. He said it again last night. Do you believe that? And do you think in any small way, Simmer, that, you know, the dads being in the building and, you know, they made the point in the broadcast last night that the dads were all invited into all the meetings and everything's kind of wide open and DJ wants them to really experience it, whether that took some of the, I don't know, the focus off to start the game?
Oh, God, the opposite, JR. That's the last thing with your fathers around. Again, some accountability. No, it's not that at all. And the Ottawa Senators, like every professional hockey team, JR, they work hard. I don't go through a list of players and say, oh my God, that guy was super lazy. The Ottawa Senators, you can talk about preparation, getting people ready to play, whether you skated tonight, last night, whatever you did. The Ottawa Senators are chaos in their own zone. This is about preparation as a group, and this is year four of a coach, and it's not turning the corner. And it's a funny narrative because that's why I have been so cautious when Pooley's talking about, I see them turn the corner. Is that the game on Saturday night? The penalty kill, okay, it was glorious. It was glorious because the goalie stood on his head. The goalie stood on his head in the second and third period against a bad San Jose team. This team in their own zone is not good. And as Pooley pointed out last night, and we do put a lot of focus on the defensemen, it's also the forward group. As five-man units, they don't know what they're doing. So you want to call that preparation or being prepared? Again, there's no fault of working hard. It's working smart, JR. And unfortunately, the Ottawa Senators, have no consistency with that, and you will never go far. I don't care who you are, unless you're Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. It's just not a formula that's ever going to work in the National Hockey League. We've arrived at that point. I mean, if people want to bury their head in the sand and think it's going to be any different, it's just not going to happen. Then take out Zub, who is your best defensive defenseman, and also from last year, take out Brown and Paul, and insert Joseph and DeBrincat and other guys. It has just added to the absolute. Those three players last year on a bad defensive team were your defensive conscience. They are gone. And right now, it has just added to what was an absolute fire drill in the first period. And that's not about working harder, JR. It's about actually knowing what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, listen, DeBrincat had a very poor play on the first goal. No doubt about that. I haven't had that many issues with him defensively.
Oh, he's not good defensively at all, though.
Well, listen, he's paid to score goals. I think he's fine for a goal scorer.
He's scoring six goals, though, so you better score a lot more goals.
Well, absolutely. I'm not sitting there going, oh, man, Alex DeBrincat's defensive game is the reason the Sens are in the position.
No, I'm not either. But I'm saying at six goals at $9 million, you better get a hell of a lot more from
sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you're not scoring, well, yeah, you better be better defensively as well. And it's I'm not putting the fault. I'm just saying the change of the conscience when you take out your two absolute best defensive forwards, JR, and you add a goal scorer who's not scoring. And again, I like Alex DeBrincat as a player. But he has to perform. And you add in Matthew Joseph, who just has a tough time. And then you look at the rest of the group there, and it's a big-time struggle.
Yeah, it was back to chaos in their own zone. And Saturday, I mean, they got away with it thanks to a strong power play and some great goaltending, for sure. But you're going to get games like that. But I thought the games in previous to that, there had been some games in which they performed very well defensively, I thought. And that's why I think a lot of us had thought that, okay, maybe there is a bit of a turning of the corner. But they fell into old bad habits again last night. And again, whether it's the coach talking about preparation, whether it's players not focused, whatever it may be, or whether They just don't get it or can't get it under this coach. Last night was very, very poor. And, you know, even though the shot clock evened out as the game went on, you know, he's right in that L.A. and I think Pooley, or maybe it was Mike Johnson, showed in the TV broadcast. I mean, L.A. just sits back and a 1-3-1 says you got to dump it in and you're not skating through five guys and offense is very hard to come by. Well, they didn't get a 5-on-5 goal. Both the goals came on the power play for Ottawa.
Yeah, no, and as I said, that is the tough part. And I go back to Saturday and you go back to last night. You're going to have nights, Jared, and I'll go back more to last Wednesday against New York. You come off of a West Coast road trip. You're not going to have the energy. I understand in 82 games, like mentally and physically, Jared, it's a grind to do this, as we know. And when you add to that where you don't have the structure of the entire group, let's not even talk about individuals. When you don't have that base component on the nights where, okay, you start a little bit slow. And you're not getting the saves from your goaltender, you don't have any hope. Like, as I said, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And unfortunately, this is year four of a coach who has a little bit better personnel. But I certainly have some issues with some of the personnel moves that have been made. But like I say, you're just unfortunately not going to get much traction. It's going to continue to be the same story of a couple of games you'll play well. And they've got some very good players and their power play will be good. But it's just not going to happen, both in the deficiency in personnel and deficiency in structure. Just not good enough hockey team.
Cam Talbot got pulled after the fifth goal and gave up 5-on-14. I don't think it's necessarily different if Forsberg starts the game, but what'd you think about them leaving him in as long as they did?
Yeah, you take him out after four, and the deficiency or the part that Talbot struggles unlike Forsberg, and I don't disagree, but although I'm a bigger Forsberg fan, Forsberg is a much better athlete, and the deficiency or the struggle for Cam Talbot is when he has to move laterally. He's just not as good an athlete, but again, that was a team lack of effort, but I would have taken him out after the four. Well, you still have a chance. Yeah. By the time it gets to five, you're toast. And those are little decisions that should be just an automatic. And for a goaltender, even, JR, and the conscience of a goalie, hey, you know it's not your night. There's no sense of staying in and, hey, no, you got a chance here. You affect change in the hockey club, and maybe Forsberg steps in and plays like he did the other night, and you can, you know, claw your way back.
Based on the fact that, well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, poor game last night. I would think that Forsberg now gets the start in Dallas. We had just talked yesterday about maybe Talbot gets a run of games here because they don't have any back-to-backs for another week and a half. But based on last night, and Forsberg came in, and it wasn't like he was under siege, but he didn't give up any goals in the last half of the game. So I would think he gets the start. Here's the bad news for Ottawa. This goes back to my theory of team gets shut out in one game. They score a goal in the first 5 minutes of the next game, more often than not. The next game is against the Dallas Stars, the high-scoring Dallas Stars that got shut out last night by the Toronto Maple Leafs and Matt Murray.
Back to the point. Robertson closing. Blocked by Marner. Another shot. Blocked there by Sandin. Another shot blocked there by Murray. Another shot blocked by Murray. Murray down. The puck still free. Holy mackinac. They managed to keep it out.
There you go. That all came on a 5-on-3 that was about a minute 38 long. And, that was accurately described. Mitch Marner was out there. At one point, he broke his stick, like we saw with Hamonic the other night. You had Rasmus Sandin, of all people, blocking shots. And then Matt Murray stood tall. 44 saves on the night for Matt Murray, who has gotten at least a point in every one of his starts so far this year for Toronto. They won it 4-0. By the way, Mitch Marner did get a point, an assist on the very first goal, so the streak is now at 20.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And as far as Matt Murray, it just kind of, I guess, somewhat comical, has come back. And again, I had no issue. They had to have a divorce here, but has gone and has been hungry. And when healthy, has absolutely stood on his head. And from Forsberg's standpoint, JR, from what we saw against San Jose, that's probably what you're going to need to see on the road against the Dallas Stars team that, as you said, coming off a game like that, although you generate 44 shots, you get blank. So the dads and everybody else better buckle up. And I also expect a nice bounce back from Ottawa as well, JR. I will say that. Like, I think these father trips are outstanding. I think the mother trips are outstanding. And I don't think it takes any focus away from the athlete. I think it's just like, wow. Let's go. And I expect Ottawa to play great on Thursday in Dallas, personally.
Okay, I'm still calling for a Dallas goal in the first, first 7 minutes. All right, first 5 minutes. First 5 minutes. Call my shot now.
Everything has to be confirmed by Hammer now. He's got the hot hand on Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He's winning in the sense and sensibility. So are you feeling it as well, Hammer? Because you're the hot hand right now.
Well, I just don't like how JR goes about 60 seconds ago, first 5 minutes. And then changes it to 7 minutes.
Oh.
And I was like, no, you can't do that. Where's the confidence?
He went from the 5 minute abs to the 7 minute program.
That's allowed. There was a little bit of wiggle room.
And then you went back to 5 minutes.
I'll go five. Strong opinions.
That's right.
All right. And I'll say that I was going to say who scored the goal for Dallas. But goal in the first 5 minutes.
You're loving Robertson. So that's you're going
right.
to go with.
Exactly. one other note from last night. Montreal beat Seattle 4-2, so good win for the Habs coming off that crazy loss in Vancouver the night before. They were playing a back-to-back. They were on the road, so a good win for Montreal, but also this of note.
Johnny Gord had it, lost it. Good support. Shane Wright, he'll move on. Broken up. Kovacevic will send it back for Matheson. Gord, Bjorkstrand, Wright, scores! Shane Wright, his first goal in the National Hockey League.
There you go. And you could not have scripted that any better, I'm sure, for Shane Wright. If he was going, I want to score my first NHL goal. I definitely want to do it at home. And I'd like to do it against the team that may have snubbed me in the NHL draft. But so Shane Wright got his first NHL goal last night. Just called up after a conditioning stint down in the American Hockey League. There's lots of conjecture that he's going to play this game, maybe one more. And then go to the Canadian Junior Camp. And then after that, it's up in the air as to whether he goes back to the NHL or perhaps he gets sent back to Junior, and that would be hand in glove with a trade out of Kingston to somewhere else in the Ontario Hockey
League. Yeah, I know, a beautiful destination for a very good hockey team here in Ottawa. And I would say this from Seattle's standpoint, it has not been a good development situation in Kingston, JR, and that can be factored in. So where does he get traded? You'd be thrilled if he got traded to Ottawa under Coach Cameron, could end up doing that, and maybe James Boyd can work his magic. But you're right, for Shane Wright, it became very personal in Montreal, and I think it became, and again, this is a bit of the argument, but it became, a little negative about his draft stock and the way it dropped. And also, I guess, interesting, Slafkovský was in the lineup last night. I didn't think there was a chance he'd be in after getting just absolutely hammered by Luke Shen. So I guess that's also a positive, but they were head-to-head, and I think the jury on Mr. Slafkovský, I think it's still in Montreal, a debate as to who's going to be the better player long-term.
Absolutely. And we'll see if you mentioned as well, maybe Slafkovský goes and plays in the World Juniors as well.
Well, he really should. And like I said, if Montreal doesn't send him, to me, it's almost like you're avoiding or worrying about what if he goes to the World Junior. No, come on. Send him to the World Junior. Let him have a monster tournament, as Pooley said. Let him be the big fish. He's a monster. He should go there. And I know they're not a great team, Slovakia.
They're stronger than they've been in most years.
They are. Yeah. You're right. And they've got a great team spirit. I know that sounds funny, but they're very proud of their program right now. Oh, I think it would be perfect for him to go there. And you know, get a little confidence, score some goals, put up some points, have some fun, and then come back. And then I don't think their decision is whether to, well, they could send them to the American League, send them to Erie, or keep them. It kind of feels like they're going to keep them there the whole year right now.
All right, so 4-2, Montreal beat Seattle. Leafs win 4-0 over Dallas. Kings beat the Sens 5-2. Ottawa's getting on the bird today, this morning, going to Dallas. They've got their next game coming up against the Stars tomorrow night. And then they're in Nashville for a game on Saturday afternoon. We'll take a break. When we come back, speaking of junior hockey and the World Juniors, Jack Mateer of the Ottawa 67s is about to head to Canada's World Junior Selection Camp, and he's also about to get on the bus. The 67s head to Windsor. Jack is going to join us next, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. That would be one of nine goals that Jack Mateer has from the 67s blue line this year. That equals the total he had in all of last season. So he's filling the net. He's putting some points up. But his calling card has always been the defensive side of his game. But it's all been enough added all together. The general manager, James Boyd, and the scouts with the Team Canada World Junior Selection Camp have said, we want you to come this weekend to Moncton and see if you can make the team. And so, man alive, you're one step away from achieving an ultimate dream. And we're pleased to be joined by Jack Mateer of the 67s on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline this morning. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent. Really appreciate you getting up. How's 19-year-old Jack Mateer do at 6:45 in the morning? Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake. This is kind of routine for our team, so we're just getting ready to get on the bus and head to Windsor.
Okay, awesome. Before we talk about your season with the 67s, let's talk about either the call or the conversation. Like, who gave you the news that that you're going to the World Junior Selection Camp, and kind of take us from there on that whole story?
I actually got a email and a call from the assistant coach, and he just kind of broke the news and said that I'd be going to the selection camp. And right away, obviously, I called my parents, and I was super excited. And it's always a good opportunity to represent Team Canada, so that's what I'm going to try to do.
Jack, what is the high you've been on since you got that call been like?
Like I said, I think I was just excited with my family, but I'm still kind of focused on what I'm doing here with the 67s this week, and then I leave Friday for the selection camp, so I'll focus on that when that comes. But like I said, I'm just kind of focused on what's going on here with Ottawa right now.
Oh, well, I mean, that's the right answer, Jack, but come on, what's the honest answer? You got to be super pumped up. Come on.
Yeah, like I think obviously the World Juniors is every kid's dream, so this is one step closer. So, yeah, I am really excited, though.
All right, good answer. So, I mean, I'm sure you got a hockey craze family. We see lots of stuff on social media from your parents and lots of relatives. They're just over the moon about your time with the 67s. Kind of take us through sort of Christmas time and that tradition of watching World Juniors. What do you remember anyone in particular, any one moment, anyone of the World Juniors that kind of sticks out in your memory bank?
Yeah, I think the 09 World Juniors in Ottawa, that's probably one of the first memories that I have of watching the World Juniors, Jordan Eberle scoring. So since then, I've been watching it with my older brother and my mom and my dad, and it's kind of a tradition in our family. So I think, like many other families in Canada, it's the best time of the year.
Jack, what has it meant to be drafted by Nashville, which is a great development program, along with being with Coach Cameron, and how much of both of those situations helped you mature as a player?
Yeah, I think for the first question, in Nashville, it's a great organization, and it's a good spot for me to get drafted and develop my game individually. But for Coach Cameron, obviously, he has a ton of experience. He's been around the game for a long time, and he knows a lot of people. So he's a great tool for me to utilize and develop under.
Did your dad mention that David Poile had also drafted him way back when?
Yeah. My dad was drafted by Washington when he was in Washington.
Yeah, good stuff. How have you, as you think about your time here in Ottawa, you're now into your third season. Of course, one season was wiped out altogether. What sort of improvements are you most pleased with in your game over the three seasons in Ottawa?
I think just growing older, the confidence comes along with that, and also just my leadership skills off the ice and being a leader in the room to the younger guys. But I think just overall my confidence, and it allows me to make more plays with the puck and be more confident out there. So, yeah, just that and my leadership off the ice is two things that I'm pretty proud of since coming to Ottawa.
And, Jack, it's certainly a team game, and you have a better team this year. But, man, you're now a point-a-game player. You've gone from last year being like the weather minus 20 to a plus 25. That's incredible growth for a young man.
Yeah, like you said, I think it makes a huge difference when you're on a good team and winning. So, yeah, I don't pay too much attention to stats, but like you said, I think just the improvement's obviously really nice to see, and it's credit to our team too. Mm.
With Jack Mateer of the Ottawa 67s, he's heading on the road to the 67s and then off to the World Junior Selection Camp coming up on Friday. When you were in Nashville and you would have been to a few development camps, et cetera, have you ever had a chance to cross paths with Roman Josi? And what sort of things, if you have, has he talked to you about?
I think just small talk. Obviously, the NHL guys are kind of a little bit on their own compared to the junior guys and the American League guys, but yeah, just small talk with him, just trying to get to know him and stuff like that. But yeah, he's obviously a player that is a really good defenseman and someone to learn from.
Hey, did you talk to him at all about hair care? I mean, he's a pretty handsome guy, you got to admit.
Yeah, I think he's definitely one of the league's best-looking guys. I always see that on the NHL posting that.
Yeah, exactly. How, as you head to Windsor, and you mentioned you are focused on the task at hand, which is you've got one game, going to get on the bus here in a few minutes and head to Windsor and play that one game. Do you think it'll be hard to focus just on playing that game, knowing that, you know, on Friday morning you're heading to Moncton in the selection camp?
No, I don't think so. I think just being around the guys from the 67s, it's kind of a different mindset, so... I think I'll play this game, and then after that I'll be worried about Team Canada and stuff like that.
What will it mean to you that you got a couple of teammates? Tyler Boucher is off to the American camp, and Vincent Rohr is off to Austria's as well. If you make Team Canada, you have an opportunity to maybe play a game, or at least see a couple of your teammates play in the tournament as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really great experience if we all made it. It'd make for a really good story, definitely.
All right, good stuff. Best of luck, man. This is an incredible opportunity. Congratulations on a great start to the 67 season, and we wish you all the best this weekend down at the selection camp, and hope to see you lining up on the blue line on Boxing Day for Team Canada.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care. There's Jack Mateer of the Ottawa 67s joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. I mean, yeah. I tried to draw some out, but yeah. he's just a hockey guy, man. Focused on the hockey.
Yeah, good Sioux kid. And again, funny with David Poile and having been there when we drafted his dad, but it is nice, JR. And again, you look at a kid like this, 6'4", it's obviously a project. And a kid like that comes in and you get into a good development situation with Ottawa, which some junior teams aren't. And then you go to a real quality club like Nashville. It really means everything for a young athlete. And that evolution kind of reminds me of, I don't think he's quite, is it Kevin Ball that's mm-hmm. with New Jersey?
Yeah.
And but just, you know, a young big man. But that contrast, JR, in points, and I know he's a 19-year-old, they're a better team, but also in the plus minus, and now a chance to go to World Junior, and I guess I'll say for myself, I hope he makes it. I'm excited to see him play. That's a real nice chance, and as you said, just a boost of confidence for him and how that'll push you the rest of this year and give you some confidence going into what I would assume will be the start of a pro career next year in Milwaukee.
So the camp goes Friday. Monday they name the team. They're playing. They're doing this camp out in Moncton. So we wish Jack Mateer the best luck. It'd be great to see a 67 on the team for Team Canada at the World Juniors. Okay, 6:52. World Cup first day off. No soccer today since the tournament began about 2.5 weeks ago. I know for some people they're going, thank God. For others, I'm going, what do I do with my day now? There's no soccer on all day today. But yesterday, they wrapped up the round of 16 matches with a shocker and a shocker. The second shocker wasn't the fact let's go to the highlight first.
Bernardo Silva got lucky there. Ball came off his knee. Chance for the hat-trick! Ramos has done it! Gonzalo Ramos! What a performance! In the World Cup last 16, his first start for his country, in for Cristiano Ronaldo. It is the stuff of dreams. A little dink finish over Jan Sommer. Portugal 5, Switzerland 1. Gonzalo Ramos has 3 of them.
There you go. A little dink finish. No. I like that. That's a great description
right
there.
Yeah, and on that play, Jerry, you know when you're feeling it, right? And the goaltender a big rebound and just a little chip over him, and you're just going to jump over him at the same time and goes to the back of the old onion bag, as you say. And I just think this scenario, and we called out Hammer yesterday when he mentioned that Ronaldo might say, we're like, oh, come on, you're a guy, you could do that, a coach. And,
oh, you guys crapped on me.
To do that type of move, first of all, I assume you have the support of the rest of the team. But to come out and play the way you did, for his substitute to do the way you do, and to have to make Ronaldo go into the game at the 72nd minute, it was just gorgeous. That's the way sports should operate. And for a guy that's one of the most selfish athletes on the planet, when they played the Euro final, did he get hurt early in the final, or he didn't play?
No, he played 6 or 7 minutes in.
Yeah, and they won. And I just think if you're trying to coach and teach sports, man, this is what it's all about. And what a great result for that group to sit out the most recognizable player on the planet.
So that is 21-year-old Giancarlo Ramos, who got the hat trick, right? Interesting that in soccer they call it a hat trick, right? Because the term hat trick, I think, is born from hockey. But I don't know. I found that
interesting, right? Yep. And how rarely it's called, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, that's the bigger point. Anyway, Ramos, as mentioned there, I had it down that it was his second start for the national team. Whatever it is, he doesn't have a lot of experience, and so the manager, as they're known as, didn't really give an explanation that I saw anyway as to why why he made the decision that he did. But Ramos starting and Ronaldo coming off the bench, nor did he commit to changing things up for now the quarterfinal game against Morocco coming up on Saturday. I don't think you switch out the hot hand.
If the hot hand did nothing, it'd be a decision. If the hot hand scored a hat trick, oh my God, there's the last thing I would do is start Ronaldo. And I don't know soccer well enough, JR, other than I assume that Ronaldo, who's obviously been a great player, doesn't want to recognize or believe where he's at in his career. And hey, to that, and I don't even know how that works or how you shift around, but this is the same thing at Manchester United, and this is the same thing with the national team. The only player that doesn't get this at this point is Ronaldo himself.
And I don't know what, if that was a message from the manager to have him. I mean, the game was well in hand by the time he came off the bench in the, 72nd minute. I think at that point it was 5-1. It ended up 6-1. I mean, it's almost like
would he have even played if the game was close?
Yeah.
Like even just one.
Oh, no. It's your chance to embarrass him. This is the same subject that came up with Manchester United, right? He was asked to go in as a sub and he left the stadium. Oh, man, this is totally the coach and the clash of personalities between superstar players and coaches of national teams. This is just like the most beautiful moment. This coach is just through the game. It's like, oh, my God, I'm going to make this guy go in for nothing minutes and just dance around so everybody knows he's here. He's not hurt. No, absolutely. That was just a great moment for the coach.
And he goes incredibly offside and scores a goal in the second. But, hey, look at me, coach. 5 feet offside. Got myself a tally. No, you don't.
All right. So that was the second of the two games, 6-1. Portugal beat Switzerland. The first game was a rather dull affair for 90 minutes and then 30 extra minutes between Morocco and Spain. But then came the penalty kicks.
Bono waits on his line. It's Busquets. It's a central run-up. And it's saved by Bono! Spain have missed all three of their penalties. And a man of that experience, you didn't see that coming. But that's what pressure can do, no matter the caps, no matter the years. And Morocco are a penalty away from the first World Cup quarterfinal in their history.
Okay, a couple things here. First of all, the woman that announces the game, she's done a bunch of games. She's outstanding.
Oh, she is great.
She's really great.
Yeah. I agree with
that. And speaking of kind of the manager sticking it to Ronaldo, I don't think an English broadcaster minds sticking it to Spain either. Take that, Spain, right there. And it was interesting because after Spain lost, I believe it was in the Euros on penalty kicks, their last major tournament, maybe it was the World Cup, the note from the manager was to all of the players in the national team, here's your homework for when you go away in the summer. I want you to all do 1,000 penalty kicks. Mm-hmm. If they did their homework, it certainly didn't work out like they had hoped because they went 0-for-3 on penalty kicks. Morocco goes 3-for-4. And a shocker in terms of the result, Morocco moves on, beating Spain 1-0 in the round of 16. We should mention, by the way, the Moroccan goalie was actually born in Montreal and holds dual citizenship. He could have taken the place of Sweatpants had he so chosen, but actually grew up in Casablanca, of all places, and has played for the Moroccan national team. And his last name is Bono. So Spain still hasn't found what they're looking for.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, as you say that, Jer, first of all, that's one of the reasons the Spanish group has so many groin issues, the players kicking all those balls. But there was also a player on Morocco yesterday that had grown up in Morocco and moved to Spain at 7 years old, right, and then chose to play for Morocco, which is just an interesting story because it talks about, again, we talk about dual passports, which it feels like almost everybody in soccer has. So very cool kind of backstories to that and very exciting. And because of Sens and sensibility, the only thing I was scrambling to look for was the possession time, which I think it was well over 70%.
77%.
Which did not bode well for me in
sensibility. No, it did not. No, you didn't do very well at all on Sens and sensibility.
Well, I was trying to help Hammer. That's funny that Hammer actually took the opposite just in that's the hot hand he's got right now.
No.
He's playing blackjack now with a hand of 18. He said he'd hit me.
Hit me. Absolutely.
He's scoring blackjack.
And I'm hitting three every time.
So Morocco Portugal will be one quarterfinal. That's the match on Saturday morning, and of course that is the prelude to the tasty matchup of the four quarterfinals of France versus England. That game goes on Saturday afternoon at 2:00. The Friday matches, Brazil-Croatia is at 10 a.m. and the 2:00 match, the Dutchies, Netherlands, taking on Lionel Messi and Argentina. There's your final eight at the World Cup. All right, we'll take a break. 7:00, top of the hour news and sports update. All the details on the Sens 5-2 loss to the Kings. We'll come back. We'll chat about that. Talk about the biggest save of last night, which actually didn't happen during the game. We'll look ahead to the rest of the week for the Sens. Take a trip around the rest of the NHL. Don't forget Dave Poulin is our TSN hockey insider. He will join us coming up after 8. Got lots of winning for you as well, including tickets to Sens Skills and as well an opportunity for you to be there this weekend with your hockey-playing daughter because the very best female hockey players in the world are in Ottawa this weekend for the PWHPA All-Star Weekend at Canadian Tire Centre. We got some tickets to give away to that as well. Here on this Wednesday morning, we're glad you're with us on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.